Hello, my name is Jody Limott, and welcome to Dream Gardens, where we talk up the kids' books we love. On this twice-monthly podcast, I interview other kids' books enthusiasts, such as writers, teachers, and librarians, about their own favorite children's books. So, over the past several podcasts, I've talked about a number of awards for children's books, such as the Newbery and the Caldecott, the Coretta Scott King, the Scott O'Dell, and Pura Belpre Awards. This time, I'd like to briefly talk about the Laura Ingalls Wilder Award. Unlike the other awards, which are given out to specific books published within the year, the Laura Ingalls Wilder Award is given out to one author or illustrator who, throughout their career, have exemplified excellence in all of their work. So this award recognizes a lifetime of work. It is named, of course, after the celebrated author of all those Little House books, who, it should be noticed, did not start publishing until she was 65 years old. The award itself was started in 1960. And for the first 20 years, was only handed out every 5 years. 1980, that was changed every 3 years, then to 2 years in 2001, and starting in 2016, the medal became an annual award. Some of the past winners have been E.B. White, Beverly Cleary, Theodore Geisel, that is Dr. Seuss, Maurice Sendak, Virginia Hamilton, Lawrence Yep, and of course, Laura Ingalls Wilder. The 2017 winner is author and poet Nikki Grimes. She's written over 45 novels, picture books, poetry books, and nonfiction for both children and adults. The following is an excerpt from her verse novel, Words with Wings. Some words sit still on the page, holding a story steady. Those words never get me into trouble. But other words have wings that wake my daydreams. They fly in, silent as sunrise, tickle my imagination, and carry my thoughts away. I can't help but buckle up for the ride. My guest today is author and illustrator Angela Barron, who has written under the name A.T. Barron such children's books as The Self-Illustrated Tale of Squirrels, as well as her forthcoming middle grade novel, The Ruby Cell, and she's also created the illustrations for Sandy Barton's picture book, The Tree. You can find her website at www.atbarron.com. Thank you for joining me today, Angela.
Well, it's good to be here.
Now, for interested readers, can you tell a little bit about your upcoming novel I mentioned, The Ruby Cell? What can they look forward to?
The Ruby Cell is a young adult fantasy fiction novel. It's loosely based medieval Russian region, but it's a world of its own. And it is about a young blacksmith who is in training under his father's tutelage, but their village is being cursed, essentially, by an evil demon, and people are just dropping dead. And he's gotten word through his sister that a sorceress needs help in trying to stop the demon that is actually causing all the deaths. So he needs to go out and collect the demon and get rid of it.
And when do you anticipate that this book might come out, roughly?
Oh, gosh. As much as I would love to have it come out, say, by the end of this year, I don't think that's going to happen. I've put a general plan for next year. It's just making sure we get through the editing phase, and new ideas keep coming in my head, so it's still major work in progress.
And the book you chose today as one of your favorite books is The We Free Men by Terry Pratchett, which was originally published in 2003 by HarperCollins. What can you tell readers who are unfamiliar with the book what it's about?
This book, a middle grade book, is about a young protagonist, Tiffany Aching. She's around 9 years old. She comes from a large family, and family is important in her life, but she's also on a farm, and she's just recently gone from the youngest child to the second youngest child because her little brother is born, and he's the only son in this big family. And she's finding it kind of hard finding her place in the world. It turns out that she's got special talents, and she kind of wants to be a witch, where she seeks out another witch for help. Unfortunately, in her beginnings of her training, her little brother is kidnapped by an evil queen, and now she needs to go find her little brother. But she does get some help from some interesting characters. There is a toad that's sort of like a pocket guide to help her out, who has a quirky sense of humor. And then she also has these pixies called the Nakmek Feagles. The best way I can explain it is brave but crass little smurfs, but not as cute. They think she's a full-fledged witch because she can read, and to them, words are magic. So they decide that they'll help her after she's, you know, finagled a little bit with them to convince them that she's going to be able to go get her brother. And they head into this witch's realm, where, spoiler alert, she vanquishes the witch, and she's able to get her brother back.
And what was it about this book that really appealed to you?
First and foremost, I loved having a young female protagonist. Many books these days are just male protagonists, and I'm probably just as guilty because the book I'm writing now has a male protagonist in it. But with her, it was a refreshing take. The story was generally an easy read, which is nice because after a long day of, you know, working and dealing with stuff in life, it's nice to sit down and be able to read something and just be entertained. If I really wanted to think, I would pick up a bigger book of literature, but this one was nice for a break, but it had much more in it that I didn't realize until I finished the book. The young protagonist seemed very much actually like me. She was, you know, headstrong. She really wanted to do stuff. She knew she was different than the average female. And this book, the protagonist isn't one of those that hems and haws over how hard her life is. She sees a problem, she's going to say, I'm going to go fix it. The other thing that I like in there was that there is a big family aspect to it. Even though she doesn't like her little brother very much, she loves him enough to go save him. And it's good for kids to see that yeah, you might have to live with your siblings and you don't care too much for them, but they're still family and family is most important. And I would have to say the last thing, but also a very good important aspect was, and I don't know how much of a spoiler alert I can do in this part. She succeeds in her quest. She vanquishes the queen. She's able to get her brother back. And when all is said and done, somebody else takes the credit for it. And she's okay with that. Where you see kids these days, they don't feel that way. They would be devastated if they did something wonderful and they didn't get all the credit. It's nice to see this aspect in somebody portrayed in books to the younger generation. They need to see that not always do you get the credit for the good works you've done, and it's okay. You should be okay with that. You don't need a participation award or anything like that. You just keep doing on the good works, and it will come to you.
The setting of this book is Discworld, which is a setting of many Terry Pratchett's books, both the books for children and his books for adults. For those who might not be familiar with this world that he's created, can you give a brief description of what it is?
This was the first book of his that I've read, and I was not familiar with Discworld at first. I just started doing a little bit of research on it because I wanted to go back and read the next book in this series. Now, this is not the first of his series. This is much farther in. I've lost track of how many books this gentleman has written. Discworld is basically a flat world, and they're all connected. All of his various books are connected in this world.
Now, this is the book where we first meet Tiffany Aching. It's a character we meet again in several other books. You talked about the next one. There's actually, I think, about four or five books. I can't remember exactly how many. And you talked a little bit about her, about what sort of person this is. What can you say we learn about Tiffany?
In the story arc, she goes from feeling lost in her family and not really comfortable where she's at, and she really wants to be a witch. She learns, though, through her travels with Nakmek Feagles, that family is really important, and there's a tie that binds them all, and she wants to continue that when she goes to get her brother. But she's also learning that with this magic, it's not always about doing fancy magic tricks, where she may have thought in the beginning that magic was awesome and wonderful and you could do all these cool things. She learns that though she has this magical ability herself, and her way she thinks and figures things out and thinking outside of the box is really what helps her through all of her struggles. So even without magic, she's still a fantastic girl, and that's a good aspect for her to learn.
You also mentioned, talked a little bit about the Nakmek Feagles, these wee free men who are a big part of the book, who aren't your typical sprites in any sort of way. How would you describe them?
In the book, they're mentioned that they're about 6 inches tall with red hair and beards, and they're tattooed all over them, wearing kilts. The best way I can explain it really is like these teeny little miniature blue characters running around. But they're very crass. They obviously like to imbibe a lot. And they're not probably the best of friends because they try to actually steal the family's sheep and other things. But you have to give them credit because they're very go-to kind of fellows. And if you're a friend of theirs, they will stick up for you. They will fight for you tooth and nail. And they do that throughout the book. They defend her against a friend and foe, actually. There's a couple things that they attack that they probably don't need to, like teddy bears. So they're fearless, but at the same time, they're kind of funny. And it's a nice little comic relief. They do add an extra special character to the story, and that's their heavy Scottish accent. And in reading the book, you have to kind of get through that a little bit, but once you get it in your head what they sound like, it kind of flows. It's almost like when you read one of the Harry Potter books and you listen to Hagrid speak. You've got that same off accent that you just have to adjust to, but it does meld well with the book.
Now, the witches of this book, and we meet quite a few of them, aren't your standard variety witches either. There is magic about them, but it's not necessarily their most important feature. Would you say, just in general, what makes these witches unique compared to other sort of storybook witches?
It's almost like they're very common. When you think of witches, you think of like the tall pointy hat and sitting on a broomstick, and these are not like that. They're eclectic in a way, but they are very practical. They use things that they have at hand in order to do their magic. They think. They're very witty. Just like Tiffany, they think things through, but they're a bit faster at it, obviously, than she is because they've had practice. And it's nice to know that they have, I don't think they call it actually in the book a coven, but if they have that sort of group of witches that they work together, and they come from different parts. And it's nice how they all do work together.
And you touched upon this earlier as well. This is a book about family in many ways. And the most important character for Tiffany is her grandmother, who'd actually been dead for several years when the book starts. What is the importance of the grandmother to Tiffany?
Granny Aching was also a witch, probably unbeknownst to Tiffany, until I would guess maybe even midway through the book, she's starting to finally realize what Granny Aching did all this time, because the Nac Mac Feagles knew of her. And she knew that her grandmother had some sort of pull in society, but she couldn't figure out where it came from. She just thought, this woman really knows her sheep. But it was more than she just knew her sheep. She knew magic as well, and that was how she had her power. The other thing is that because there was such a good connection between Tiffany and her grandmother, even in small instances, that probably gave her enough inspiration to continue on. She wanted to kind of be like her grandmother, that same go forth, do it all kind of person.
As well as family, what this book is also about is the value of where you come from, how the place where you live is part of you as much as anything else, like how the chalk is almost a living thing for Tiffany and her grandmother. What did you make of that?
Well, I guess it plays on the whole idea of your roots, you know, where you come from, and the idea of growing up on this chalk. I never heard of ground being called a chalk. And then I started realizing, I guess everybody has their own little foundation and what kind of ground is around them. They speak of the witches saying that they can do magic on places that are made of good earth or rock, because they can get really good magic that way, where they can't do that on chalk because it's not quite ground. But Tiffany's able to do this because this is where her home is and this is where she's happiest. And it might not be really what the ground is made out of, but really where you feel most comfortable. And that's how you can be able to perform your magic. So she is comfortable with her family, the roots that she has. And that's very important to her. And she wants to continue that.
Terry Pratchett is a really sharp satirist of the foibles of human beings, but he's never struck me as being really a cynical person. In any way. What do you take away from his view about what it means to be human and sometimes an absurd and strange and mixed up world?
Being human in a strange and mixed up world. I would have to kind of agree with him on that. I actually find a lot more comfort in some of the fantasy worlds that I read about than in our own world. And then I wonder, why isn't our world like that? But maybe our world is sort of a fantasy world. We all have our own views of things, and we each have our own story. And so if we can all just build and bring them together, it might make the world better. Obviously, we have to do it peacefully.
Now, are there any particular passages from this book that you'd like to share?
There were, actually, yes. I had, when I was reading it, I did like the humor in the book because it was a nice, refreshing bit to deal with when you have a long day. One of the quotes came from the early on in the book where Tiffany is, she's trying to figure out what's going on. And, you know, she's got her grandmother's index of sheep diseases that she's portrayed as this magic book to the Nekmek Feagles, but she can't find a place where she can be private because she's got such a big family and she shares this room with her sisters and it's just not working out. So one of the lines in the book is describing how she can get away from her family. And it is, there was only one place where it was possible for someone in a large family to be private. And that was in the privy. This reminds me very much of myself. I came from a busy, big family, and sometimes you just can't get away from the hustle and bustle, so the bathroom is the best place to go, because no one's going to really follow you in there.
Angela, thank you so much for joining me today to talk about this book. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it, too.
Angela's website can be found at www.atbaron.com. Thank you for joining me on Dream Gardens. The theme music titled All Together is provided courtesy of Purple Planet Music. You can visit them at www.purpleplanet.com. Podcast cover art is provided by Creative Pro 180, courtesy of Fiverr, which can be found at www.fiverr.com. You can visit me at jleemott.com or follow me on Twitter at dreamgardensjlm. The Dream Gardens podcast is also available through iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. If you like what you hear, please comment, share, or subscribe. Until next time, keep dreaming, keep growing, and keep reading.